This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, a former Atlanta mayor, once a rising star in the Democratic Party, goes on trial for corruption. Joining us today to discuss this topic and more, E.R. Shipp, professor of journalism at Hofstra University School of Communication. She joins us from New York City. Joining us from our bureau in Washington, D.C., our headquarters there, Republican strategist Tara Settmeyer. And today from Savannah, Georgia, George Curry joins us. He's editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service. All right, folks, we want to talk about a name familiar to many who watch politics, even on a national level, because as we mentioned, this man not so long ago was a rising star, former mayor of Atlanta, Bill Campbell, who presided over, many say, the most prosperous period of time for Atlanta in recent history, a span that included the 1996 Olympics and really bringing the term Hotlanta to popularity. He's accused of accepting, George Curry, more than $160,000 in illegal campaign contributions, cash, junkets, home improvements in exchange for city contracts, your everyday city bribery, if you will, if we look back historically. And this follows a 7-year federal probe into corruption at City Hall there in Atlanta. Let's talk, A, about Bill Campbell and B, about these charges.
Well, first of all, Bill Campbell, you know, this is a mayor who presided over the Olympics, brought a lot of economic growth, even though when he left office, the city still had a deficit. I am just willing to really wait and see what's presented on this one. I'm not going to, I mean, Bill Campbell says the only thing correct in the indictment is the spelling of his name. We'll find out. A lot of people, I think about 10 people already have been connected with the city or contractors have gone to jail. Connection with bribery, and he said he was not guilty of any of this. We'll have to see. So I don't want to prejudge him. I want to see what they present.
Tara Settmeyer, let's take this beyond Bill Campbell and feel free to speak on him specifically. But the idea that once again, here is a politician, rightfully or wrongfully, connected with monies for favor. The juxtaposition of the two as we look at the Abramoff scandal grow in Washington, D.C., gets a little dicey for those who sit back and go and elect these folks to office.
Absolutely. I think this is something that has plagued city governments for a long time, local politics. I mean, this is almost the way it works when you're dealing with major cities and mayors and contracts. It's the uglier side of local politics. However, the situation in Atlanta, what troubles me is that I think that Bill Campbell may take a route of claiming the victim. And that's the part of this discussion here that that concerns me, because if he is guilty of these acts, which are, I mean, the indictment is rather lengthy, the federal government is going to prosecute him under RICO statutes, so that allows the prosecution to establish a pattern of offenses where they can tie together the roles of different people played in the corruption of city government. He's already come out very outspoken, claiming that almost a way to go on the offensive, which is rare in a situation like one that he's in. And his lawyers have already said, well, the government's out to get him, and he's going to play the victim, and he was a victim of people who were close to him. They took advantage. And Bill Campbell's a very smart man. He's a lawyer, savvy politician. He was a rising star. I think he knows better. So it's poised for a very high stakes drama trial in Atlanta.
Yeah, E.R. Shipp, how atypical is this? Tara suggests it's atypical, but if you think about Tom DeLay and others historically that we've seen,
I don't hear anything atypical about it.
Yeah, it's a position that we hear quite a bit.
There was a 7-year investigation to come up with charges revolving around $160,000. That raises an eyebrow. But keep in mind that Atlanta is one of many places that has seen many corruption, scandal situations, but so has New York City. My other home, Atlanta is my home area, New Orleans, Chicago, L.A., the U.S. Congress. It's a shame that people who come into politics, as Campbell apparently did, as idealists, somehow become corrupted by power and their closeness to power.
Allegedly.
And I think that's what the issue is here.
Hey, George, let me ask this real quick before we move on to our next topic, and that is the juxtaposition of Bill Campbell, where he sits now, and Shirley Franklin, the current mayor of Atlanta, who by all accounts has been doing a fantastic job. Does that make this any harder for him?
I don't think it makes him any harder. I mean, this is a long line of succession of people who are, I guess, favored by the black intelligentsia in Atlanta. You know, Bill Campbell was anointed by Maynard, and then, of course, Franklin was anointed by the same machine. So these are people who know each other, who've done well. Now, Mayor Franklin, the current mayor, now is getting all kind of accolades for doing a great job, by all accounts. But I still think, even when we have these discussions, I mean, and I got to get back to this on Campbell, you know, we're acting as though he's been convicted when he has not. And we have to see what happens, and I'm willing to do that. And if he gets convicted, that's a different kind of discussion for me. But right now, I'm not real to say, oh, he's convicted or what he's saying. We'll see. He has an excellent lawyer. He's a former, what is ironic?
He's actually one of his own lawyers.
He used to work for the Justice Department himself. And so if he's guilty of anything, it certainly was not because of that lack of knowledge, because he's smart, he's a lawyer, and works for the Justice Department himself.
All right. Let's turn our attention to something that really came to prominence yesterday, and a lot of people have been talking about it over the course of the last 24 hours. And that, in fact, is what people are suggesting is hypocrisy from the corners of Teddy Kennedy. We saw him chastise Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito for his one-time membership to a group that was opposed to admitting women and minorities at Princeton. And then we find out that Senator Kennedy continued to be a member of a social club, the Owls Club, at Harvard, which had been thrown off Harvard's campus 20 years ago for refusing to allow female members. It is said that Senator Kennedy, as recently as September 7th, had updated the information to the Owls Club. And he now has suggested that he is going to and has, in fact, resigned from this club. Yet he suggests, Tara Setmeyer, that it is not the media scrutiny that he has received by virtue of his criticism of Alito that has caused him to do this.
Oh, sure it isn't. I mean, Ted Kennedy, it just never ceases to amaze me with his antics. And I think that his display last week during the hearings were just his way of making himself politically relevant, because he falls into the fringes oftentimes with his outrageous statements and no one takes him seriously. And for this to come from a man who comes from a dynasty, a legacy of privilege in a family that he was the grandson of a bootlegger. I mean, he has his own ethical problems, and he's going to bring up someone didn't prep him, obviously, well enough for the Senate hearings, because someone on his staff should have recognized that this would have been revealed. And for him to say that this has nothing to do with the public pressure is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he said that he had nothing to do with this organization, yet he still pays a $100 membership every year. He updated his profile as recent as September 7th of 2005. So, you know, Ted Kennedy, he claims to be the champion of for the disadvantaged, and he's all about taxing the so-called wealthy. He's against an estate tax, which kills the small farmer in this country, yet he manages to shelter his own father's $300 to $500 million estate from paying estate taxes. So the level of hypocrisy for Ted Kennedy is endless.
What of E.R. Shipp, the idea that you're probably going to get a level of hypocrisy when you look at these hearings from just about any member of the Senate who sits before the nominees by virtue of the majority of them being white, middle-aged men who are, for the most part, millionaires?
Yes, and they come from backgrounds, many of them, from Ivy League and other places where, when they were going to school, many of those schools excluded women. So I'm not surprised that Kennedy might have been a part of a group that excluded women members. But let's put something in perspective here. The membership is $100 a year or whatever, and somebody upgraded it. It's a good chance that Kennedy didn't even know he was a member of this group anymore, or indeed that one of his aides has sent in the, you know, a new profile. This is the kind of thing that gets candidates or politicians in trouble, because they're trying to be all things for all constituencies. And they inevitably get tripped up, whether it's in saying that New Orleans is going to be a chocolate city, or that Somehow the Washington government is a plantation. They get tripped up with these things because we in the media are now focusing on them because they are the they're the ones who are most outspoken on most issues. So Kennedy with Alito, yeah. and et cetera. It should expect the spotlight to be on him. But I think this is explainable that this was just somebody in the office sent the check in.
Yeah. George, is this much ado about nothing on both sides?
Well, two things. One is I think Kennedy leaves himself open to criticism because he didn't directly criticize Alito on the question of women at admissions at the Princeton. But let's be clear. There is no comparison between membership in a social club versus admissions to college. And Alito was talking about blocking in his alumni group, blocking admission of people of color and women to college. That is no comparison whatsoever, even though Kennedy is wrong on this one.
But wait, let's be clear about Alito's role in that organization.
All right, real quick, because I got to get to this last topic.
Okay, because first of all, he was hardly even present, and the reason why he was tapped for that organization was because of an ROTC issue on the campus of Princeton, and he had really nothing to do with the quote-unquote racial bigotry that this group was allegedly in
Brag
favor of.
About it.
Kennedy probably
Brag
had nothing to do with the owl clubs.
He's bragging
too.
About his membership on
so
his
it's okay.
To the Justice
so it's,
Department. He did know about it.
But it's okay for Kennedy to just, I donated $100. Maybe
That's
one of my
I
staff
said.
Members remember. But
well,
I'm just saying,
Kennedy
the
was
same
wrong.
Logic,
I
the
said
same
Kennedy
logic.
Was wrong on this. I said he was wrong on it, but there's no comparison between membership in a social club and blocking people of color and women from going to Princeton.
That's questionable.
Not in my mind.
Okay. All right. Let's move to a topic we wanted to get to yesterday, and I want to make sure that we get to it today. As we know, Condoleezza Rice has been globetrotting. Recently, she was in Russia, and she criticized Russia and suggested that they act responsibly in supplying natural gas to the Ukraine. Well, that got the ire up of Russia's Liberal and Democratic Party, and one of the heads of that party suggested that the reason that we see Condoleezza Rice with her knickers in a bunch, if you'll allow that, is that he suggests that a single woman who has no children at her age needs to rethink her career and her life. This is a quote. If she has no man by her side at her age, he will never appear. Condoleezza Rice needs the company of soldiers. And she needs to be taken to barracks where she would be satisfied.
This person sounds crazy.
End quote.
I have no man beside me either, and I'm 50 years old, and I'm proud to be a professional person. Oftentimes, I'm sorry I jumped in on this one, but oftentimes when a woman is stepping out there, people have no real comeback except to drop innuendo about their private lives, and I think she's becoming a victim of that. Even
let me ask this though, and I get in trouble. I've done this before in barbershop talk, George Curry. When there are no women in the shop, you will hear this kind of thing though.
Well,
and I guess I raise that question to say, how much of this is a reflection of still, quite frankly, Neanderthal or not, the thought of the belief of men privately.
No, this is going way beyond that. This is absolutely despicable, saying that you need to go in the company of soldiers so you can satisfy yourself sexually. I mean, this guy's wacko. This is the same guy who praised Hitler, encouraged nuclear bombing. I mean, the man is just crazy, and this is just sexist, classic sexism. It's about as bad as it can get, and we need to say that.
Okay,
yeah.
Now that you've said that, though, George, take my question. Because considering the messenger, let me go to Tara since George doesn't want to take it.
No,
too much heat. Too much heat, George.
I just don't think it's to get to this level.
Tara, how much do you believe that, not to that level, but this may be a reflection of men's beliefs still? We talk about whites' beliefs of African Americans and other minorities in this country. Can this be seen to some degree, obviously to a lesser degree, of a reflection of the way men still think of women in position?
Absolutely. And this was something that when I saw this story, I just shook my head, because here we have a woman of her caliber who is accomplished, who is well-respected. She's the most powerful woman in the world, questionably, arguably, depending on who you ask. And yet, it because a man, well, Zirinovsky is crazy. But even still, we look at her and we say, well, you know, there must be something wrong with her because she's successful and powerful and she doesn't need a man. And for us in the Black community, women have been carrying the load for generations. So for us, we look at that as some women as a badge of valor, but yet there's still the question of, you know, well, is her life fulfilled because she isn't married or because she doesn't have children? And I think that that's an unfair characteristic for her.
Another and George, you're right to characterize Vladimir Zirinovsky as someone who is seen as kind of a loose cannon, one who is prone to statements of outlandishness. But there is, I think, to some degree, a grain of truthfulness by virtue of him feeling that freedom from his side. And he does represent, I would think, more men's real opinion than would want to admit to.
Well, I can't speak for them. The man is...
Keep pressing, George, and he knows he's in trouble.
That's right.
He's ever had people to say this.
And I don't know why we even give him any kind of credence.
But well, that's the whole point, too. But you know what? This may just not be the sexist part. It could also be part of the racism part.
Right.
This guy also has that going on. And
be milling, too.
All of this attention is to carry this message much further than it deserves.
But where are the feminists in this country? You would think that Condoleezza Rice would be heralded as one of the role models of what the feminists fought for so long, because she's successful, independent. She doesn't need to fall into the role of the role of wife and at home. But yet, where are they? They should be out front defending her, because this is rather vile ire coming from someone overseas. But it's interesting that they're silent.
Right. Well, let's
sure
just remember the famous words of Hillary Clinton,
happened.
Stand by your man. All right, I'll stop it there before I get in trouble.
You
George,
believe it from
George, Tara, and ER, thanks so much. Appreciate it.